Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I'm delighted that you're here. Today, we're going to talk about my relationship with movement. And for any of you who have a funky relationship with movement, which chances are if you're here, you probably fit into that category, because when we have a funky relationship with food or our body image, movement so easily gets tied into that, because movement and fitness and exercise is such a part of diet culture. It's like this extension of diet culture. So we are going to talk about that today, because I actually joined a gym this morning. I have not gone to a gym in, years, definitely over a year since before this morning. And so I want to talk about it. I want to talk about the why. I want to talk about the intention. I really want to talk about it, because I think this is a lot of things that people can resonate with, and I think it can be helpful. Before we get into that, two things. One, I'm wearing overalls right now. Why on earth did no one tell me that overalls are so freaking comfortable? Why are we wearing jeans when we could be wearing overalls? I'm not a farmer. I wish I was. That'd be fucking cool. But I've never worn them, because I always kind of consider them as like a farmer's clothing item. But I tried them, and I don't think I'll ever take them off my body. I'm actually going on a brand trip, not going to say who yet, in August, and we're going to a farm. And you bet your bottom dollar, I'm going to be wearing overalls, okay? So just wanted to share that. If you're like, oh, I don't like jeans, or like short season is coming up, I'm going to get some overalls that are shorts. These ones are like kind of capri overalls. You bet that I'm going to be getting shorts. If you don't want to wear jeans, if you don't want to wear shorts, like jean, denim, get overalls. They don't have to button on your waist. They are so comfortable. I don't know why we are not screaming this from the rooftops. So there is a body image tip for you. And then number two, what I want to share before we get into the bulk of today's episode, is the Fine Food Freedom win of the week. Now, I actually have one screenshotted that I was going to read today, but then I thought, you know what? Let's do one that happened this past weekend, live in the flesh. So I do not get the chance that often to meet our incredible community members, because of course, everything we do is online, right? Like right now at the podcast, or just everything we do is virtual, the podcast, the counseling, the social media, everything. So I was at the zoo this weekend with some friends and my daughters, and I was coming out of the bathroom with my one daughter, and I kind of saw just, you know, maybe 30 feet away at a table, I saw a woman kind of make eye contact with me. And when I see the look, I know, like if it's like, I know they can tell who I am, or they recognize me in some way. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, do I know this person? And right away she came up and she said, I'm sorry. And I don't know why people lead with, I'm sorry. I'm like, it's an honor that you're coming up. But she's like, I'm sorry. Are you Fine Food Freedom? And I will say, I fucking love that people call me Fine Food Freedom. I don't think anybody knows my name. I think people think my name is Fine Food Freedom, and I love it. And I'm like, yes, yes, I am. Who are you? But it was just so cool. She was a local mom, has very similar kiddos my age, and was just so grateful and for our content and the messaging that we put out there. And I love meeting people in real life, because it reminds me that there's people that are impacted by our content. And I know that sounds silly, because it's like, yeah, of course they are. But for me, like, I'm talking to my computer screen right now. I talk to my phone a lot. And so the fact that I can meet people in real life means a lot to me. And I don't know what it is about zoos, but this is the second time I've been spotted at a zoo. The last time was I was in San Diego Zoo on vacation, 4 months postpartum with my first. And someone in San Diego was like, are you Sam from Fine Food Freedom? And I was like, oh my gosh, this is wild. So something about me and the zoos, I'm just one with the animals. So anyways, if you're a part of our community, I am grateful. I am thankful. If you see me in public, please come say hi. Let's chat. I would love to meet you. And thank you so much for being here. Okay, so I want to get into today, relationship with movement. Let's talk about mine, shall we? So I think about where my relationship with movement kind of came from. And when I really started to remember going south. As a child, I played every sport under the sun. I played softball. I played volleyball. I played lacrosse. I was a cheerleader. I was a gymnast. I was a dancer. Like, I did it all. I was never like the best at anything. I was just kind of like good at things. Like, I was like, okay, like I have hand-eye coordination. I can play things. So I enjoyed that. Now, where I remember it taking a turn is when I entered college. Those were my disordered years. That's when I had put on weight. I did not feel comfortable in the body that I was in. I was extremely fat phobic in my belief systems. My whole life was very weight centric. And I thought that, like, you know, studying to be a dietitian, I had to be thin and all of this bullshit. And I was also, you know, engaging in completely horrible eating patterns of restricting myself of carbohydrates and then binge drinking and binging on carbs when I was drunk and, you know, all of the things. And so I remember so many times in college, I have like vivid memories of going to the rec center and going on the treadmill, or more back then it was the what is it called? Oh, the elliptical or the arc trainer. The arc trainer is the one that's like you almost like it's, the elliptical is more of like a circular motion. The arc trainer is like back and forth. And I remember just going on those for hours and like watching the calorie count. Like, and I couldn't get off until I burned a certain amount of calories. And like the intention behind my movement was solely to shrink my body, to punish myself for what I ate or drank. Like, there was no joy in that movement. Okay. And that's where it became this slippery slope of movement, which used to be sports or basketball or volleyball or fun, wasn't fun anymore. It was solely to burn calories or to burn what I ate. And that's where that kind of disordered relationship with movement started. Now, funny enough, at the time, I did minor in kinesiology fitness studies, and I was actually a part of, like, at Penn State, we had students that worked at the rec center that you could go through a training program and become a personal trainer, like, on campus. And so the funny thing is, I was in the, like, most uncomfortable self-hatred relationship with my body, and yet I was a trainer at the gym helping others. And I remember feeling so much imposter syndrome and so much shame because I hated it. Like, I would constantly be at the gym because that's where I worked in college, and I would compare myself to everyone. I would see these, like, you know, cute boys and, like, oh my gosh, it was so toxic for me because my relationship with movement was so toxic at the time. So fast forward where I'm at now. I just hit 1 year postpartum with my second. I had diastasis recti, which a four finger gap, which means my abdominals were kind of just split open, for lack of better terminology. A very large gap, which creates, I did go to pelvic floor PT, but it creates a really weird bulge in my abdomen, and it just feels really weird. And so I did go to PT for a while for that, but I'm just now getting to a point where I'm like, I'm missing movement. I also work virtually where I am remotely, right? I do not leave my house if I don't need to. And Florida, it's hot as fuck already. I'm telling you, we've had days in the 90s, high 90s with humidity. Can't stand it. First of all, I can't take my daughter for a walk in the stroller. She's going to burn up like a little crispy potato. So I am like struggling with movement, but I know that I'm craving it. And that's where I kind of got to where I was this morning, where I was like, I am joining a gym. Now for me, it takes even now as a registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, and certified personal trainer that helps people make peace with food, body image, and movement, I had to like it's like exposure therapy for me to walk into a gym, because I have so many memories of going into a gym to burn calories, to shrink my body, to punish myself. I very logically know that's not what I'm doing right now. Like I can say to you, like, I'm going to the gym for multiple reasons. One, free fucking childcare. Yeah, let me say that again. Free fucking childcare. If you have children, I don't care if you go to the gym and sit in the corner and scroll on your phone for an hour and a half. Free fucking childcare, okay? That's number one reason why I'm going. Number two, alone time, which is the free fucking childcare. You can put those together. But like time for my mental health. And three, because I'm genuinely craving it. Like I'll get to the end of a day that I haven't moved a lot because I work from home and I'm in the home a lot. And I'm like, I wish that I moved my body today. Like I can feel my body craving movement. And you know why? Because I have unconditional permission to rest. I can't say this enough. I always use this example when I'm talking to clients or talking about movement, is this parallel that our relationship with food and body, to make peace with food, to make peace with movement, you have to have unconditional permission to eat, to make peace with food, or to rest if you want to make peace with movement. You cannot remove the guilt and shame from your relationship with movement if you don't have permission to rest. You have to be able to rest, whether that's a day, a week, or a year. You have to believe that you are no better or worse of a person from a moral standpoint, no matter what your movement looks like. That's really fucking hard, okay? And it's something that I have worked on for a really long time, but I know I have given myself years of a sabbatical and rest, that I'm allowed to rest. I trust that. I believe that. And I've gotten to the point where, because I have rested, I know that my body wants movement. Now, a lot of people start with their relationship with food first. And the way that we describe this is like, you have to have permission, unconditional permission to eat food, to trust that you have access to that food, right? To trust that you truly can eat the food. And this goes for all food types. So if you come to intuitive eating, and in the beginning, right, from when you come from diet culture, you haven't been allowed to eat carbs for years. Well, you got to eat carbs, and you got to eat a lot of them right now, because you need to prove to yourself that you have unconditional permission to eat them. Because if there is any lurking restriction around the corner, your body is going to binge on them. Your body is going to be like, oh my God, oh God, restriction's coming back. So you have to allow yourself to eat the food over and over and over and over and over and over and over again to realize, hey, I have unconditional permission to eat this. I can eat this whenever I want it. And so I love that parallel. And it's something that's just so, so important to take note of. Okay, I feel like I just went on a big tangent there, but let's come back to my story. So free childcare, alone time, but I've been craving movement. And that is the big, big thing that I want you to do right now. I want you to pull out a pen and paper, and I want you to write two things down. Intention and fun. Okay. So let's talk about this. What is your intention behind moving your body? Now, you could do what I just did, and I kind of did like a past present. My intention in the past was to shrink it, to burn calories, to punish myself. That was my intention for moving my body. Who in the hell wants to do that? No one. Nobody wants that. That's not fun, right? So now, if I come to this question, I say, what is my intention for moving my body? One, I'm craving it. Like I can feel it in my muscles and my bones and my like body. Like it craves movement when I haven't done it for a long time. Two, for my mental health. Three, for alone time. Four, I want to do things that bring me joy and that empower me. And I want to feel stronger, especially I have two kiddos. You're constantly lifting them up and down off the floor. Like I want to build strength. I want to be stronger. Okay. So when I look at those, if you put those intentions side to side, those are so different. So no matter where you fall, your intentions are going to look different than mine and everybody's will. You need to be very intentional about getting honest with yourself of what your intentions are. So let's define those today, right? Like, let's bring awareness to them and let's figure that out. Because if your intentions are for shrinking your body, that's where we need to go to, we need to start unpacking that. And that's where getting professional support is really, really important. Now, two, I told you to write down fun. Okay. So when we think of the word fun, movement should be fun in some capacity. Okay. I think this comes back to, I want to bring a point up here. I don't want to set this unrealistic expectation that, like, when you move your body, you need to be like, like laughing and skipping in a meadow. And like, sometimes it's not going to be like that fucking fun. Right. But it needs to serve a purpose that like brings you joy in some capacity. Okay. So I'm going to use myself for an example. Went to the gym, free childcare. Insane. Like that alone, like I could have just stood in the corner, like staring down at my feet and I would have been like, okay, I have a moment to breathe. This is great. I went out to the weight floor. I was like, holy shit, exposure therapy. I have not been in a gym for a very long time. And I was like, let's fucking go. I put on some Drake. I put on some like 2009 to 2013 like party rap music. I turned it up as loud as it could possibly go. And I was like, let's fucking go. Like, and I had so much fun. I was listening to like the college bangers that we used to like drink, basically binge drink to. Talk about more exposure therapy. But I was having fun. Like I was like blasting this music. I was like running on the treadmill. I was doing a little weight circuit and I was so lost in my own world. Like I didn't look at anyone on the weight floor. I wasn't comparing myself to others. I was really in my body and having so much fun. Now that doesn't mean, I want to make this very clear. That doesn't mean that you need to start lifting weights. That doesn't mean that you need to do what I'm doing. What I'm saying is like that form of movement for me was really, really fun. Another form of movement that I love is when it's not a million degrees outside in Florida, putting my girls in the stroller. We blast Taylor Swift. We sing it. We go on a walk. We like look at all the trees, the flowers. Like I love walking with them because it doesn't feel like I'm not forcing myself, again, go back to your attention. I'm not forcing myself to move from a position of calorie burn or punishment. It's just something I genuinely enjoy doing. So that is something. And again, when we write down the word fun, what I also want you to think about is like, what is any form of movement that is going to spark any fun for you? And this is something when we talk to clients, I like people to make a list of these things. So for some people, it is going to be walking. For some people, it is going to be high intensity workouts. For some people, it's going to be yoga or gentle movement or dance classes or taekwondo or gardening is another one, or like vigorous house cleaning. I have some clients that they don't think that gardening counts as movement. I'm like, have you ever gardened? Like getting up and down and on and off your feet and your knees and you're crawling around and it's sweaty and it's like movement can be so many things. So I want to challenge you to think of like what movement sounds fun, right? That could be anything. And so my husband actually, incredible gift for, was it my birthday or Mother's Day? I think it was my birthday. Got me these dance passes to this place that I've really, really wanted to check out. I have not used them yet. I'm sorry. I haven't used them yet, but I have been thinking about them and I'm going to like write that down that I need to book these dance classes because dance to me, am I good at it? No. Can I hold a beat? Yes. Okay. I can fuck with a beat, but like I danced in high school. Like dancing is muscle memory, man. I have not done it in a while, but it is so fun. I think this goes back to music. I'm very heavily driven by music. So today, like when I had music on the weight floor, I got lost in the music. Dancing, same thing. I can just get lost in it. And it's so much fun. And you have to be able to laugh at yourself, right? Like I'm probably going to fucking trip and fall. Or like I'm going to be trying to look like, you know, sexy in the mirror. I'm recording a podcast in overalls, right? But you got to be able to laugh at yourself. Okay. So what is fun? So those are the things like when you work with an intuitive eating counselor, when you work with someone in the weight inclusive space, we do touch on movement because when we look at the intuitive eating principles, one of them is movement, feel the difference. And the big work, I guess you could say, like, what does that work look like, right? Like, what does that journey look like of making peace with movement and digging into your relationship with movement? It is bringing awareness to and shifting the intention because you can logically know. And I think this is where there's a big disconnect on social media. Like I hear people say like, I'm moving for joy because they logically say, they're like, I know I shouldn't be moving for calorie burn or punishment. But just because you logically know that doesn't mean your intentions are going to change. And that's where like really unpacking that with a professional to work through, okay, what trauma do you have from the gym? Or like, why did you move for so many years? That is going to help shift those intentions. And then in that same breath, asking, what is fun movement look like? And I think this goes so many parallels to the relationships with food, right? When we sit with clients and ask them like, what food do you actually like? The amount of times I've seen faces just go completely blank and they're like, I don't know. Because when we come from dieting, we're always making our food choices based on calorie counts, meal plans, what we're air quotes allowed to eat. We're not making food choices because we want them. And so when you make peace with food, when you walk an intuitive eating journey, you start to find like what foods bring me satisfaction? What food do I actually like? And the same thing happens with your relationship with movement. You might find that for so many years, like for myself, for example, I had to stay out of a gym because it triggered me. But now today was, okay, we're talking one fucking day. So I'll report back in a few weeks, but it was like the first time in a long time I can say like my intention there was completely different and it allowed it to be fun. So like, let's give an example for you. If you're a runner, right? I ran like 4 half marathons. Couldn't tell you the last time I ran more than a mile and don't know if I ever will again. And that's okay. But if you're someone who like in your peak of dieting were consider yourself a runner, you might need to take a break from running for a really long time because it's really hard to detach your old intention of calorie burn and punishment and like no pain, no gain and burning to earn your food from something that you used, right? You used running, let's say, to help you do that. It's really hard to just say, okay, now I'm going to run for joy when we weren't doing that before. So I really, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm resonating with so much. I've never heard it put in these terms before. I really, really want to encourage you to reach out to get support because this is something, for example, that people don't think about this being a part of the intuitive eating journey, but it absolutely is. Our relationships with food, body, and movement are so intertwined. There's so many parallels there, and you can find joy in movement abso-freaking-lutely. So I really want to encourage you to get your benefits checked if you have not already. We have a team of 14 registered dietitians, certified intuitive eating counselors who help you make peace with food, body, and movement, and it's covered by insurance. So you can click the link in the show notes below. You can go to any of our social media platforms on Instagram, on TikTok. You can click the link in bio. You can check your insurance benefits and you can see how many free sessions you have with our team. We're licensed in 22 states. If you do not have coverage, we also give a free month of membership to anyone who doesn't have any health insurance benefits. So if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, so you're telling me I either have free one-on-one counseling, yup, Or if you don't, then you're going to get a free month of membership, which includes 3 live calls with a dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor. There is no losing here. We want to help as many people as possible. And this was a way to do that. So if you enjoyed this episode, if you're like, wow, I want to hear more of this kind of content, please, please, please rate, review, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, leave us a review. Let us know what you liked. Let us know what you want to hear more of. The more I hear from you, the more I can help you. And just a friendly, friendly reminder, let's bring it back today. To like, if you don't remember anything about today's episode, I want to leave you with this final note. Whatever you are doing in your life is enough. Okay. If you need rest, take rest. If you're feeling like craving some type of movement, that's fine too. But whatever you are doing today, it is enough. I find people always think they're not doing enough. And please know that you are enough. You are doing enough. Thank you for being here. And I am looking forward to chatting with you next week. Bye. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.